Open your Bibles, please, in the book of Jonah. As you're doing that, could I say to the men's male Calvary singers to wait behind after the service this evening. Do wait behind, go over to the complex this evening, just immediately after the service. In the book of Jonah, the chapter 1, we're just going to read 5 verses. Want you to follow God's precious word here. Jonah chapter 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried out every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. We end our reading there. We know that God himself will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. For Jesus' sake, amen. As we are concluding our service last Lord's Day, looking at this first chapter of the book of Jonah, we were considering the instruction which God gave to his servant, his prophet, his child, there in verse number 2. Verse 1 says, The word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. And there we find God's instruction was to arise, he was to go, and he was to cry against the city of Nineveh. In other words, God had a definite plan, and God revealed his will unto his servant Jonah. I think it's a wonderful thing when God reveals to you his will. And God tells you what he wants you to do. It is so easy to say, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? But friend, whenever God shows you what he wants you to do, it's important that you have the willingness of mind and willingness of heart to obey the Lord. We sing the hymn, Trust and Obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And as we think about this man, Jonah, it is certainly the story of a man. I believe that we have here represented in Jonah a representative of many of the children of God. Maybe someone sitting here this morning, you can say immediately, this is my story. And friend, if it is a sad story. A story of a man when things could have been completely different. But a man who decided to turn away from the revealed will of God for his life. Now, as we think of the instruction, God says, Arise, go to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a city. It was founded by Nimrod. We find that in the book of Genesis in the chapter 10. Nineveh became the capital city of the great empire, the Assyrian Empire. And it was located on the banks of the Tigris River. It is, as I said last Lord's Day, is what is known today as a part of Iraq. I think it's northern Iraq. And so therefore it is right up to date. Now we find that Nineveh was a city that was 500 to 600 miles away from the place where Jonah was. The word of God says, go to that great city. It was a great city indeed because it was a great city of sin. It was known because of its sin. And how great was the sin of this city of Nineveh? Turn with me please to the, keep your hand there, turn to the little book of Nahum. And when you look at the book of Nahum, the chapter number 3, verse number 1, it says, "Woe to the bloody city. It is all full of lies and robberies, and the prey departeth not. The noise of a whip and the noise of the rattling of the wheels and the prancing horses and of the jumping chariots. The horseman lifteth up both the bright sword and the glittering spear. And there is a multitude of slain and a great number of carcasses. And there is none end of their corpses. And they stumble upon their corpses because of the multitude of the whoredom of the well-favored harlot, the mistress of witchcraft, the selling nations throughout her whoredoms, and families throughout her witchcrafts." It was an evil place. It was a place that was known for its sin. It was known for its atrocities against the people. In other words, it would be, to be truthful, it would be like sending a Jew to the Holocaust or sending them at the time of Nazi Germany. And yet God says to Jonah, he said, "I want you to go." And he says, "I want you to go to Nineveh. It's a great city. It's a city of sin. It's a city of atrocities. It's a city of great evil." Now I believe that whenever Jonah heard that message from God, friend, listen, if God had told him to go anywhere else, probably Jonah would have said, "Yes, Lord." But Jonah didn't send him anywhere else. He sent him to Nineveh. And God was going to do a work in Nineveh. Friends, you cannot choose who you want to hear the gospel. You cannot choose those that you do not want to hear the gospel. Because I want to tell you, salvation is of the Lord, and God has chosen a people across the teeming multitude of the world for himself. And God has given a people to his Son amongst the teeming millions of the world. And amongst the teeming multitudes, friend, there are people that perhaps you don't like. There are people that perhaps you don't want to hear. You don't want them to hear the gospel. You would rather that they would be damned rather than to be saved. You don't want anyone to tell them the good news of the gospel because they're just not the person that you want to hear. You don't want to hear about such a person being saved. And then to be honest, that's exactly what happened in the heart of Jonah. Jonah did not want these people to be saved. Jonah did not want these people to hear the good news of the gospel. Why? Because of who they were and what they did. Because of their past. Because of their history. Let me tell you, my friend, if you study the history of this people and the people of Nineveh, you will find that some of the atrocities of Nineveh people are nearly unmentionable. You know, whenever people fell into their hands, they would bury them alive. Some of those that they would take captive, they would bury them alive, and they would leave them just with their head exposed in the sand. And of course, can you imagine what people would do under the blistering sun? And you know, the men of Nineveh would leave their captives there, and they'd bury them alive and leave their heads out, and the people would cry and they would beg for water until they died. This is the people that God says, "Jonah, I want you to go to them and I want you to preach to them." Jonah says, "No, God, I don't want to go. Because these people don't deserve to be saved. Think of what they have done. Think of their past." I'll tell you something else. They would take those, some of those that they would take as their captives, and they would skin their bodies. And they would leave them. They would leave them to blister under and to die under the sun. They would take the children. And they would take the children and they would kill the children in front of their parents' eyes. And they would laugh as they were doing it. They would flay their captives alive and then put their skulls into giant piles and they would build them up as pillars. In actual fact, they were so cruel, friends, let me tell you this, that they were known to take the heads of their enemies and they would wear the heads of their enemies around their neck. Could you imagine the depravity? Could you imagine the horror of such a people? In actual fact, it is true that it is said that when villagers heard that the Ninevites were coming, they would plan to commit suicide rather than to face the cruelty of the Ninevites. They would plan together to commit suicide because they didn't want to face the horrors of the torture and the evil of this cruel people of the Ninevites. And I'll tell you something else, friend. Let me tell you this. I believe that Jonah, he also knew in his heart that the Ninevites' eyes were greedy as he looked upon that little nation of Israel. And he also knew that they were just like vultures waiting to swoop them upon them and take them captives. And to do with their children what Ninevites had done to others' children whenever they captured them. And yet God says, listen to this, concerning this heartless, this cruel people. God says, Jonah, arise, go to Nineveh. You know, it's easy for us, my friend, to condemn Jonah for what he did. And I tell you, he was wrong. But I tell you, that feeling's in the hearts of people today in Ulster. That very same feeling's in the hearts of many of God's children. And they say, listen, the enemies don't deserve to hear the gospel. Let me tell you, my friend, you didn't deserve to hear the gospel, and neither did I. It was only the sovereign grace of God Himself that permitted you and I to be born in the place where we would hear the good news of the gospel. For many of us could say, there go I, but for the grace of God. God says, Jonah, I want you to go, and I want you to go to Nineveh. And notice what God said. He says, I want you to cry against it. God was not overlooking her sin. God was not saying, listen, there was no need of repentance. God says, I want you to go, and I want you to cry against her sin. Go to chapter 3. In the book of Jonah, it says this. It says in verse 2, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey, and Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. I want to tell you, he didn't overlook the guilt of this sinful people. God says, I want you to go, and I want you to bring a message. God says, the message I want you to deliver is a message of judgment. A message of God's judgment upon their sin. You know, God knew that Nineveh was guilty. She had a long day of grace. She had a day of the forbearance of God. She had an unmerited respite. But she had slighted all that God had done. And now God says, go. And I want you to tell her she's coming to the bar of judgment. She's coming to the day of her judgment. Yet 40 days. And Nineveh shall be overthrown. I just think in passing, my friend, there's people in this congregation today. And just like Nineveh, my friend, even far greater than Nineveh, you've had the opportunity of hearing the gospel. And yet, be honest, you're not saved. You slighted the grace of God. You have had a period of forbearance of God. God has given you an opportunity to hear the gospel. Still you're not saved. Still you're walking your back against God. You're refusing the mercy and the grace of God. You know, whenever God said to Jonah, go to the city. God says, I want you to preach against it. Cry against it. Tell them judgment's coming. You know, friend, that ought in one way to have made Jonah smile. In one way, Jonah should have been thrilled because God was going to judge the place.
Why wasn't he happy to go, friend? Why wasn't Jonah happy to go at God's command? Listen, because Jonah knew that God was a God of mercy. And Jonah knew that God was a God of grace. And Jonah knew that God was a God of pardon. And Jonah knew that if Nineveh repented, that God would forgive her. And friend, that stuck in Jonah's throat. That stuck in Jonah's heart, that God could ever forgive the people of Nineveh for what they have done. And the last thing that Jonah wanted was God to forgive them and God to save them. That was his instruction, but notice his impudence. Look at what it says there in the first chapter again, chapter 1, verse 3. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa. But Jonah rose up to flee. Those are sad words. But Jonah, you'll find, of course, those words mentioned in chapter, verse 3, 4, and 5. Three buts. We see in verse number 3, the but of disobedience. But Jonah rose up to flee from the presence of the Lord. In verse 4 is the but of discipline. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. In verse 5, it is the but of disinterest. It says, but Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay, and he was fast asleep. You know, one could say, well, of course Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh because he knew there would be difficulties. He knew it would be a difficult task. You see, it was a great city. And he was going on his own, so therefore he was a lonely figure in the midst of a great city. You know, it was a great city. In actual fact, the walls of Nineveh were high walls. They were walls that were 100 feet high. Three chariots. They were so wide that three chariots could run at the same time around the walls of Nineveh. And here was one little figure sent. And he's going on his own. And God says, Jonah, I want you to go. He didn't say take company. He says, Jonah, rise and go. Talking to you. And Jonah could say, oh God, will you see, this is such a great city. What could one lonely figure do? And now, friend, the answer is nothing. You see, Jonah wasn't going as one lonely figure. Because let me tell you, even if 100 have went with Jonah, it would have made no difference, because salvation belongs to God. It's only God can save him. Jonah couldn't save this city, and neither could 100 or 1,000 others. Because Jonah had to learn the lesson that salvation belongs unto the Lord. And God was calling him single-handed to deliver the message of judgment. And I believe that perhaps Jonah thought to himself, you know, if I go alone, they'll ridicule me. And what will he not do? He knew what kind of people they were. Would they impale him upon a post and let him die? And so it says he could think of the difficulties and the dangers. But friend, that wasn't the problem, to be honest. Those were not the problems. Wasn't the difficulties. Wasn't the dangers. It was the fact that Jonah didn't want them to be saved. Jonah hated them. And Jonah would have smiled if God had damned them. But there was one thing he didn't want God to do. He didn't want God to save them. Is there somebody sitting here in God's house this morning, friend? There's people that you'd rather that God damned than saved. Have you a heart like that? Is there something in your heart this morning, friend, that you would rather that God would put a soul into hell rather than rescue them from their sin? If that is in your heart this morning, let me tell you, you have no idea of the darkness of your own heart. You and I have no idea of how sinful we were when God found us. We have trampled underfoot the precious blood of Christ. We have spurned God's grace and mercy. We have turned our back on God. We have thwarted indeed sought to thwart the very purpose of God in our lives. But thank God, God and grace followed after us. And it was the amazing grace of God that found us. And there's not one in this service this morning but deserves hell. But thank God there's many here today that are saved and will never be in hell. All because of the amazing grace of God. And Jonah, my friend, the Bible says, but Jonah rose up to flee from the presence of the Lord. He defied the will of God. You know, God didn't make Jonah a robot. Some people have got to say to me, you know, why doesn't God do this and why doesn't God do that? Let me tell you, friend, God didn't make Adam a robot. God said to Adam, thou shalt not eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but God says, the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. If you disobey me, if you walk in rebellion against my will, God says, the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Friend, sad to say that Jonah turned the wrong direction to get out of the will of God. Notice where he headed. He headed for Tarshish. Now, where's Tarshish? Tarshish, my friend, is southern Spain. And if you just look exactly what Jonah did, friend, he went west instead of going east. Now, God told him to go 500 miles to get to Nineveh, but he was willing to go 2,000 miles to get away from the will of God. He was willing to run away from the will of God, friend. Listen, in actual fact, he was going as far as he possibly could to get away from the will of God. You know, the prophet of God, he knew the will of God, and yet he went wrong. Why was he going to Tarshish, friend? To flee, it says, to flee from the presence of the Lord. He was running from God. Is there somebody here this morning and you're running from God? You're running from the will of God for me. You're running, even the Lord has been speaking to you concerning salvation. And you're not saved and God's followed after you in His grace and mercy. And yet you're trying to get away from the Word of God. You're trying to get away from God. God is reaching out His hand in love and mercy and grace to save you. And you're running the opposite direction. Is there somebody running away from the service of God? God has told you to do something, friend, and let me tell you, you're running from service. Maybe you don't like what God's telling you to do, friend. You'd rather that God told you to do something great, but maybe God has just told you to do something simple. We always have a great time of fellowship with the folks that are, you know, working around the Lord's house here. And let me tell you, whenever the vacation Bible school comes on, there are those who teach the children, and then there's others who keep the kitchen. And you would just simply say, you know, we simply do the kitchen or clean the toilets and all of those wee simple things. Let me tell you, friend, little as much when God's in it. Maybe you're like the man in the scriptures. You're just like Naaman. If it had been a big thing, you'd do it. But you not want to do it because it's only a wee thing. Doesn't make you noted. Doesn't give you notoriety. Doesn't give you praise. It's away there in the background. And so we find that indeed there are people today and they're trying to run away from the will of God because it's something that they don't like. How foolish Jonah was. He tried to flee from the presence of the Lord. Turn to Psalm 139. In Psalm 139, friend, let me tell you that if there's somebody running and you're trying to outrun God, then let me tell you what a fool you are. You'll never make it. In Psalm 139, verse 7, it says, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. And if I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. And if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the utmost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee. But the night shineth as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike to thee. You see, a person who is in rebellion against the will of God, friend, and he tries to run from God, he's doing the impossible. You will never succeed, friend. You will never be able to run away from God's presence. There were no excuses why Jonah did what he did, friend. And there's no excuses that will stand the test of the judgment for you doing what you're doing, running away from the will of God. When God spoke to Jonah, Jonah wasn't confused. Jonah didn't misunderstand. You remember young Samuel, whenever the old prophet of God said to him, whenever the Lord called him, Samuel, Samuel, and the old prophet of God said, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. And Samuel said that night, speak, for thy servant heareth. He didn't say, speak, Lord, because you see, at that time he didn't know the Lord. But that night God revealed himself to young Samuel like he never revealed himself before. Thank God that night he knew the Lord. And he said, speak for thy servant heareth. You know, when Napoleon sent out his messengers, he gave them three instructions. Here's what he said to them. He says, listen, the three instructions. Be clear. Be clear. And be clear. There was no doubting what his messengers were saying. And you see, when God was speaking, friend, God was crystal clear. God said, arise, go to Nineveh. God says, cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. It was not that his message was not clear from God. It's he didn't want to do it. He was in rebellion. He was seeking to run from God. He tried to escape from God. And friend, maybe God this day is challenging your heart. And it's not that you don't know what you should do, but you're not willing to do it because it doesn't suit what you'd like or feel to do. And so it says this. Look at verse 3. Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare. Oh yes, he found the ship. You know, the devil will always give you transportation. He'll always have transport ready for you to disobey God. He'll always provide it. Jonah was sidetracked, and the devil was happy. The amazing thing is this, people say to me, why was the ship there? You know, sometimes it just seems to be that things work out for the backslider. It's just things just fall into place. You say, well, of course, that would be natural, because surely there would be a ship there anyhow. No, friend, let me tell you. Sometimes there was a month between whenever a ship that would be going to Tarshish would arrive at that port. Men had to wait a month for a ship. But Jonah hadn't to wait a day. See, the devil was providing the transportation. You know what's amazing? Young fella gets himself worked up and he gets angry with somebody. And you know what's amazing? Quite often the stone's just waiting for him to put in the window. Or it seems to be today that the man with the unbridled temper, there's a weapon at hand ready to do the awful deed. And Jonah set in his heart to do evil. And the ship was there. But do you notice, simply as we come to a close this morning, do you notice what it says, just the direction that Jonah's life was going? Look in verse number 3. Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and he went down. He went down to Joppa. And then if you go on, the verse says, so he paid the fare thereof and went down into it. Look at verse 5. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten them. But Jonah was gone down into the side of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. Look at chapter 2, verse 6. I went down to the bottoms of the mountain. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. Notice the direction of Jonah's life, friend. When you're running away from God, friend, when you're running away from God's will, you'll go down, you'll go down, you'll go down. You know, he ran 50 miles. He came to what is today modern Jaffa. It's Jaffa. It's modern day Jaffa. It was the chief seaport of Israel. And it was a journey of 50 miles. But friend, let me tell you, he's running from God. And he's willing to go 2,000 miles to get away from the will of God. He's willing to go to Tarshish. And the course of the backslider is always down. And let me tell you, getting out of the will of God, friend, a man or a woman who gets out of the will of God is always going in one direction. They're going down. See the word there? And said, Jonah rose up to flee from the presence of the Lord. That literally means to descend, to go downwards. Figuratively, it means to fall. To fall. And friend, to be honest, can I say this? It's easy to fall. It's easy to fall. And the word of God says, he that thinketh he standeth, take heed, lest he fall. And if there's someone this morning that you know has fallen, by the way, friend, don't you laugh at them or don't you think it's something wonderful. Let me tell you, your heart should break for them. Think of others in the scriptures who went down. Do you remember Abram? Genesis 12. Abram went down to Egypt. He gave up the altar. And he lost the place of prayer. Do you remember Samson? Samson went down to Timnath in Judges 14:1. And he lost the power. You know, Samson's name meant sunning. And yet, friend, when you look at him, he lost the brightness of his testimony. That day he went down to Timnath. And this morning as we close, and we've come back to this passage in God's Word, because not only did he go down, friend, not only do we find that there was instruction here, not only do we find that there was an impudence here, we notice the investment here. Because he went down into the ship and he paid the fare. Mark this. You run away from the will of God, friend, or try to run from the presence of the Lord, and you'll never succeed. But you will pay a price. We sing the wee hymn times. Sin will take you farther than you want to go, and cost you far more than you want to pay. And he paid the fare. There's always a price, friend. I beg you in God's name, don't run away from God. Run for God. For But thank God there's always a reward. There's always a reward for those that run. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, realize that the task you give to Jonah seemed to be a difficult task. But Father, it was your will. And as we bow in thy presence, we think of each one of your children today, and we pray, O God, in Jesus' name, let us have the grace to say, thy will be done. Help us, Lord, not to run from your will. Help us not to rebel against your will. Lord, Jonah felt that he couldn't take a message of salvation because in reality he wanted these people to hear a message of damnation. And he knew that you were a God ready to pardon and a God ready to forgive for those who would repent. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that some in this service, even this morning, may know that thou art a God ready to forgive and thou art a God ready to pardon. And even today, Lord, we pray that they might call out unto thee to save them. Lord, save me, I perish. O God, may that be the cry of some heart this morning. Lord, save me, I perish. Please, God, don't let their lives go down until they go down into hell itself. Lord, save them, I beg of thee. And for those that have wandered away, O God, their lives are going down. And O God, their testimony, like Samson, whose name was Sonny, Lord, they've lost the joy, they've lost the light of their testimony. And their testimony, their life's going down. God, I pray in Jesus' name, spare them and bring them back. And give them back a testimony for thee. Lord, restore the fallen. And bless every one of your children and help us, our God, to walk in light. For we pray in Jesus' precious name and for his sake and glory. Amen.